I wonder, did the NBA hardliners consider the play-ins playoffs? I do, because they all feel like playoff games to me. 100% feel like playoff games to me. The NBA, I think, is just calling them play. This is a play-in tournament. I don't care what you call it. It's like the NHL was hesitant to call those opening round bubble hockey tournament games playoff games, but they were playoff games. It was a series. You had to win three to advance. Sure. Why isn't that a playoff series? So let's ask Brendan Wooden at HU Cosell on Twitter. My friend, have the playoffs already started in the NBA?
Well, nobody's won on the road. Nah, no, absolutely. Like, I don't really understand why they feel the need not to call it the playoffs. I don't know if it's a statistics thing, if they just don't want to, like, muddy up the statistics of, I guess, traditional playoff games because it's a one-game segment. But, I mean, it's obvious how much this means to everybody. Well, everybody except for the Dallas Mavericks, I guess. but it's obvious how much it means to everybody, right? Like, yeah. you got these players really going after it, playing through injury and all this other stuff. Like, yeah, like, go ahead and call it what it is. You're if you don't win, as we saw last night, you're out. You know what I mean? So, absolutely.
Look, I was kind of confused. Zion said he was healthy, but he's not coming back till he's Zion. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but it's too bad. We lost Brendan. Brendan went away. That's terrible. That's too bad right there. We'll get Brendan back. If we have to do it phone, we could just do it on the phone. Here's the thing. I didn't understand that yesterday. I love Zion. I will apologize for Zion all day long, 100 times in a row. But if you're ready to go, if you're healthy enough to play, and the answer is I'll play when I feel like Zion, well, then just say I'm not healthy. Because if you're healthy enough to play and you don't play, then nobody understands why. Anyway, we are going to talk about the Lakers and the Warriors being the favorites in their series, in spite of being the 7th and 6th seeds, respectively. And the truth is that the Warriors seem to be an overwhelming favorite over the Sacramento Kings. It's a pretty substantial favorite. And the Lakers are also kind of a comfortable favorite over the Grizzlies. I'm old enough to remember when the Grizzlies as a team were like the hot thing. They were the hot thing for a while. And now, I don't know if it was Ja's kind of difficult season off the court, but suddenly the Grizzlies are no longer. I look at the Grizzlies and I don't understand why they are comfortable underdogs to the Lakers. You think that's more about the Grizzlies or more about the Lakers?
I think that's definitely more about the Grizzlies. They, you know, they had the late season drama. And there's, you know, outside of Ja Morant, they're not an incredibly recognizable team. There are a lot of other good players on the team. Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr., who should be in defensive player of the year sort of conversations. But in terms of, it's not the star power of LeBron and AD, right? Like when we start talking about underdogs and we're talking about betting and what people recognize and don't recognize. And so that's really what it is. It's very easy, particularly in the NBA, to get caught up in the, I haven't seen you do it, so you can't do it. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of that, primarily because we have these dynasties, whether it's Golden State, whether it's LeBron, you know, LeBron going for 10 straight years or whatever, to the finals. Like we get used to seeing the same people over and over again, man, until you actually see one of these underdog teams do it, like Philly. Philly's a really, really good team. Like, they've got phenomenal players, Embiid and Harden. Harden had an excellent season this year. But nobody's picking Philadelphia to come out of the East, right? Despite the fact that they've been good all year and have been largely drama-free. It doesn't matter because we haven't seen them do it, and so therefore nobody believes in them.
We're going to get to Philadelphia in a second because I'm this close. Brendan Wooden at HU Cosell on Twitter. I think it's going to be a second-round matchup, but Lakers-Warriors, do you think both of those teams will win their opening round series? The Warriors are playing Sacramento, the 3. The Lakers, as the 7, are playing the Grizzlies, the 2. I think those two teams are set up to win at least their first round series. I like the Warriors, but what are your thoughts on that?
I like the Warriors. I know you fell in love with the Kings this year. I think as everyone did. They're a lot of fun to watch. Offensively, they can score with anyone in the league. Defensively, I got my questions about them. And you know, I know it's not a statistic you can point to, but experience does matter. Like small stuff, you know, those sorts of games a lot of times can get turned in the last 2 minutes of a competition. And it's the small details that can kind of throw you off, miss free throws, turnovers, stuff like that. And those things happen when, I mean, not to take a shot at one of my favorite players on the team, but like Malik Monk is playing heavy minutes,
sure.
You know, in a high leverage playoff game for the first time in his career. He might, you know, might not play well. Somebody might not show up in that sort of a way. So I have a lot more confidence in the Warriors. The Lakers, I mean, look, they're going to have a dogfight on their hands with Memphis, primarily with what happens in the paint. Both these teams are high-level scorers in the paint. Memphis is number one overall in the league. The Lakers are sixth. The Lakers also give up 24 points in the paint and in terms of opposition points in the paint. And I'm going off the last 15 games, right?
Okay.
Some of the Lakers season long stuff doesn't fit anymore because
right.
they made that big trade. And so like that was a completely different team. Like in all honesty, I don't think if they had made that trade earlier, then they would be in this seventh position and definitely certainly wouldn't have been in the play-in.
Right.
So this is a different team and I'm treating it as such with some of the numbers that we've seen. But they're still trying to come up and figure it out. Now, they're still a really good team in terms of their fourth in the league in fast break points since they made that trade. Like, they can still take advantage of the opposition. What Memphis does well, though, is they hold opposition to keeping them out of the paint. They don't turn the ball over. They're a ninth in the league in terms of turnover percentage. Like, they're able to play well despite not shooting the three that well, which might be the Lakers' saving grace. They're going to be able to put Anthony Davis in that sort of drop coverage. They're going to be able to go under those John
right.
Morant screens, keep him out of the paint being the number one thing that they're going to have to do. So that's going to be, you know, that's kind of their big thing. Don't turn the ball over. Keep Memphis out of the paint. And they've got an opportunity to win. I don't know if I would, if I were putting the bets on them, if I would say that I would favor them to win. But the Lakers, look, we saw it in their play-in game. If it's the last 5 minutes and it's a close game, who else are you taking other than LeBron and AD versus whomever you're going to play, right?
And
that's going to be how they're going to have to win every single game in the playoffs that way.
And Dennis Schroeder. Don't forget Dennis Schroeder.
Look. This team is I often boil them and other teams down to their star players because
right.
in the playoff series, that's what matters. But you're absolutely right. Guys like Austin Reeves, Schroeder, who was phenomenal for them in that game.
Yeah.
Those sorts of guys, Rui Hachimura is going to – they're going to need something from him. They're going to need something from D'Angelo Russell. The fact they're able to play well and win – versus Minnesota, despite
right.
him really not showing up versus former team, was maybe a good sign. But they also got watch those turnovers. Like some of those, I mean, the last 4 minutes of that game, both teams seemed hell
yeah.
bent on giving that
it was ugly.
Game to the other.
It was incredibly ugly. The overtime was terrible.
Yeah,
it's like we're just trying to get through it, people. That's all we're trying to do.
And you know what was and it's unfair of me, but I'll tell you when Minnesota lost that game. It's when it's 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter and Finch brings in Karl-Anthony Towns. He had four fouls at the time
right.
and they were up 10. You didn't have to bring him in right then. You can sit and wait. It was less about what time you want to bring Cat in and more about the score dictating when you're going to put him in. He had been playing phenomenal all night, but he comes in. After about two possessions, he gets a loose ball foul, and it was a legitimate foul.
Right,
trying to fight Anthony Davis for the rebound, and that like they were just never saying. Even when he got back in the game, he was never as aggressive as he was in the previous three quarters.
Do you like the Warriors in the West? Let me just ask this: who do you like in the West?
I don't really like anybody. Everybody is giving me concern. The Nuggets, right? The Nuggets have been the best team in the West.
Yeah.
And so
nobody's picking them.
Yeah. Like, no, and it gets back to what we were saying earlier. We saw them in the Western Conference Finals
right.
in the bubble all that time ago. But outside of that, we really haven't seen it. It's hard for me to say that I don't believe in them because in a crowded, ugly West, jumbled West, they were the most consistent. They did not end the regular season particularly well.
Exactly.
It's hard for me to say. Yeah, but it's the regular season. The last part of the regular season can get really ugly and weird. I think the Nuggets have the best shot. I think that they are the most talented team. Whether or not they show up like that in the playoffs, man, I honestly don't know. The West, this has been one of the wackiest conferences I've seen in terms of an entire season ever.
Almost everybody seems to be picking either the Lakers or the Suns, and I think the Warriors are going to have some. I actually picked the Warriors to come out of the West. All right, so let me get to the East, and we don't have that much time left, but I want to spend a couple of minutes on it. We can talk about Milwaukee's going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't see anybody on that side of the bracket. I don't see Cleveland. I don't see the Knicks. I don't think the Knicks are going to win more than a game from the Cavaliers. I don't. The Knicks are the Knicks. But I like Milwaukee, obviously. But there's something about the 76ers that is speaking to me. I've never been a Harden fan, but he has taken being the point guard to heart. He has played offensively like a point guard. They are letting Joel Embiid cook. They have enough pieces around them to make it work. I'm trying to close my eyes and see Doc Rivers winning an NBA title.
I mean, another NBA title. Keep that in mind. It's another NBA title.
Oh, that's right. He was the coach of the Celtics, but yes, I didn't. That team almost coached itself, right?
I mean, come on, don't take that. I mean, come on. Look, every
Hall of Famers on the court, right?
Okay, and what team recently have you not been able to say that about? Like maybe Nick Nurse and the Toronto Raptors. Like, I mean, if you're going to win title, you're going to have Hall of Fame.
Okay, all right, that's fair. That's fair. Just because I throw shade doesn't mean it's right. I love that team. I really do. I love the way the Sixers have played. I think they're going to beat Boston. I'm not sure they can beat the Bucks, but I think they're going to beat Boston.
They can beat the Bucks. Like Philadelphia has had one of the most talented rosters in the league for the last couple of years. Tobias Harris is their fourth best player.
Yeah.
And that is really saying something because Tobias Harris is a really good player. I thought they figured some stuff out with having those Melton, Harden backcourts and bringing Maxey off the bench. I thought that was, you know, you talk about coaching. That was one of the things that while people had asked for a while, they implemented, and I thought it made them better. And it let Maxey kind of run his show when he came on for those second units because he's an incredibly efficient player with almost any other team, probably 90% of the teams in the league he's starting for.
Right.
But they're so good. And you have who might possibly be the MVP on your team. You know what I mean? Like, by no means am I saying that Giannis is not as good or better than me. I don't know. But that would be the fun conversation because you're getting two guys that are going to be playing head up a lot of time. We don't often get that as fans. You get one player here, player there, but because of where they score and where they defend, you're going to see plenty of Embiid and plenty of Giannis going head up, and that is an exciting proposition. I don't know if I'd write off Boston just that easily, but that's the matchup I want to see for sure.
Yeah, I think if it's Philly-Milwaukee, I think you have the best player in the league versus the MVP of the league. I think Giannis is the best player, but I think Embiid has been the MVP this year, especially the way he has played down the stretch. He has carried them. I mean, that 50-some-odd point game was just, 20 of 25 from the floor? I mean, it's just an absolute monster. He's averaging 33 points a game.
It's amazing. The thing that's crazy to me is the fact that Milwaukee's so good defensively, and one of their defensive player of the year sort of talents in Brook Lopez, the stuff he allows them to do.
Yeah.
You know, they have the size that is not going to be bothered as much by Embiid. I'm not saying, you know, Embiid is going to get his regardless, but like between Giannis and Lopez and Portis, they have a lot of size on that team, and it's not going to be just big guys that they need to lumber out there the way that sometimes Embiid's able to cook backups for opposition.
All right, Brendan, before I say goodbye, I'm going to ask you to make a pick, but I'm going to give you an out to rethink this, and we'll talk again next week. So who's coming out of the East? Who's coming out of the West? And remember, we're not writing it in, we'll write it in pencil for now.
I went with them early on when right after they made the trade, and hell, I might as well stick with them. So I'm going to go with the Lakers, and I'm going to go with Milwaukee. We get to see the crowning achievement of either of King James or of the self-crowned King Giannis.
We've already seen the crowning achievement of King James. The Cleveland Cavaliers have an NBA title. All right, I'll give you an opportunity next week to change your pick. But we'll talk again then. Thank you very much.